what's my relationship with God like? What's my relationship with my wife like? What's my relationship with my children like? If there's fractures in all of that, like noticeably fractures, like that's a warning sign that no matter how skillful I am and whatever, I probably have some areas in my, in me that's mm-hmm. negatively impacting other people. And mm-hmm. I'm living in la la land if I think all of a sudden I can whip it into shape at a company and that everything's merry. No, life doesn't work like that.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Kevin Johnson. He is the founder of Express Pros Training, Lead Tandem, and probably other companies in the future. So keep your eye on him because he's just spinning things out left and right. But Kevin is the founder of both of those organizations and is a certified distributor of multiple leadership and organizational assessment tools. He has decades of experience in management, business development, business strategy, consulting, training, speaking, teaching. The dude's smart, so you better listen up. He loves unlocking individual and organizational potential, and he is also a voracious reader and aspiring runner, and I would say he's a little bit more than aspiring, but Kevin shares his life in his home here in Tyler, Texas, where I live too, so I got a local person finally, with his wife, his two daughters, and three dogs. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
It's great to be here, Kenny. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, Kevin, what is on your mind today?
A lot of things, man. Some good things, some challenging things. Starting with a challenging thing, Kenny, you might have heard, being in the community, we had a pastor commit suicide a few weeks ago locally. And did you hear about that?
I did not, but that may start to make some sense based on some conversations I had recently. But okay. No, that hadn't made it to me.
Okay. So different people run in different circles, but there was a pastor that committed suicide here locally maybe 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago. And this isn't about that per se, but I knew that pastor. I knew a lot of the people in that church. And from a closely in the past, from a distance now, but it just got me to thinking about the hurt that church was going to go through. And I know this is a leadership podcast, and this is a very leadership concept here that we're going to get to, but I started thinking about the pain that congregation was going to experience. And you think about that and your heart there, our mind can go all over the place with that. One thing we can think about is how sad when an individual gets to that place where they decide to end their life. Because we know when we're in clear thinking mode, we know there's always a way out. There's right. always a way forward. There's always hope. Mm-hmm. Thinking about it from a Christian perspective or not, there's whatever the circumstance, there's always a way forward. And I started thinking about this concept of pain or discomfort, and I kind of organize it into three categories. And this applies in the workplace. It applies for leaders. There is necessary pain. There's a certain aspect. If we want to grow, if we want to go from wherever we are to the next step up, pain and discomfort is a part of that process. We've seen it all in our high school gym, no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. So there's necessary pain that we have to go through in order to grow. Then there is unnecessary pain that we don't have to go through. For example, this congregation, this is pain that was avoidable. All the grief, the challenge they're going through, all of this was avoidable. And then there's there's pain that we don't have control over. I would call it tragic pain. You know, a natural disaster, a car accident, or going into the workplace, a major economic downturn and people are laid off, or sectors of industries are waning. So those are tragic pain that we have to endure. So one of the things I wanted to bring up here, Kenny, is as a leader, when we think about our organization, we think about a team we're leading. Are we, as a leader, are we bringing in unnecessary pain, unnecessary barriers, unnecessary toxicity that it's not necessary?
Right.
It doesn't have to be there. If we were to improve our skills, improve our self-awareness, improve our character, improve our interpersonal abilities, could we alleviate some of this pain and dysfunction that exists so often in teams and organizations? And I think that's a big part of my motivation and what I do in working with leaders and organizations is, what are some of the low-hanging fruit areas that we don't have to be in this dysfunction? So I'll pause there, let you interact with it a little bit.
No, that's good. I think you bring, I love the three types and distilling those down, right? Because it's easy to hold all pain as the same, right? And often it's just like, this is being something done to me. Whereas that first one is, it's almost something done for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like growth, it's for your eventual benefit. But I'm curious, in all of your coaching and experiences, when thinking about these principles you just laid out, if you're reflecting back, or even thinking of current clients, don't have to name names, but what do you see as the current thinking prevailing wisdom about pain and toxicity in the workplace? I know I have maybe some of my own views and thoughts and observations there, but I'm curious what you're seeing and how that's mixing with these recent thoughts.
So how are current or past organizations with pain in general? I think there are multiple answers to that. I'll give a few. One is, I think some organizations are in a cycle of dysfunction, and they've become immune to the pain. Maybe like a chronic pain that let's take something in your lower extremities. You've had such a chronic pain that you adjust your gait, you adjust the way you function and walk and move about to accommodate for that pain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not efficient. It causes problems in other areas of your body,
right,
et cetera. So that's something I see in organizations. They've grown accustomed, and they think, this limp that I have, it has to be there. And I want to say, no, actually it doesn't. Now it's going to be a process getting rid of it.
Right.
But you don't have to function with that limp. So that's one thought.
Go ahead. So it kind of the saying of, you know, it is what it is. If we were getting into, you know, like psychological terms, that sounds a lot like learned helplessness almost. I mean, you've adjusted, you feel like you've adapted, not well. But it's that learned helplessness, like it can't get better. So why try?
Mm-hmm. Or,
which is a mistaken belief, right?
That's absolutely true. Or, and this is the more scary, Kenny, is they don't even see that it is broken. They don't even see that it is a limp.
Okay. What's blinding them to that? I mean, because you would think when things are bad, when things are not working, when things are frustrating, when things seem harder than they should be, that should be sending off flares. People in particular, I would say the team members, the employees, not maybe the senior leaders, because they may be the perpetrators. They may be the ones ushering it in, like you mentioned. But shouldn't somebody say, man, like this it sucks to work here. It's harder than it should be. Why isn't that sending up a flare then?
Well, you're right. For maybe the middle management or lower, they're going to feel those symptoms. And I am speaking from a senior leadership standpoint.
Sure.
Those are the ones I'm typically dealing with. So, and it just comes down to self-awareness.
I see. So for them, I guess from the leader's perspective, are you saying then, because they don't have self-awareness, for them, that environment has almost always existed around them in some way, because as my mom wisely said, wherever you go, there you are.
Hey, a funny story on that. My wife and I went to New York like 13 years ago, and we were getting off the plane in New York or wherever in New Jersey. And this lady from New York and her accent, I'm not going to try to imitate it because I'm horrible with voice stuff. She said, just remember, wherever you go in New York, there you are. So anyway, all right. Yeah, so for them, a lot of times for the senior leader, nothing's broken. Or the problem's out there.
Okay. Yeah, it's not here. It's all these other people.
Other the people or their systems. They don't see themselves as a part of the system, the systemic nature of their organization that's not working.
Right. Have you also seen, or if you haven't, is it plausible that it's a reflection of how they see the world, right? Like, this is just the way the world is. They're not a perpetrator of it. It's just the way things are, right? Correct. Not even a, it is what it is. Cause I think to some extent people acknowledge something's wrong, but it can't get better. It can't be fixed, but they're just saying the world, like when people say, yeah, the world's just a hard place. And I'm not here to say that there aren't some hardships and negative things, but
well, that's one of the categories of pain, right?
Right. But you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Right. If you're looking for hardship all over the place and you're a leader, which means you have a disproportionate influence on an organization. If you're looking for hardship, if you're looking for dysfunction, if you're going to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So where do you see, I guess, what sort of damage? So they lack self-awareness. There's toxicity in it. Tangibly speaking, what is this stopping them from accomplishing? Or what sort of pain are they inflicting on people? Because you got leaders listening. Some may be senior leaders. Hopefully, they're thinking about their own leadership. But may have a lot of people who are reporting to that senior leadership. What impact is it having on those people? Because as a senior leader, your job is to accomplish things through others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Normally, I would ask a question right now back, but I know you're interviewing me, so I'll just answer.
You can
the
hit
question.
Me. I don't mind it.
so yeah, what impact does that have? I think there's a laundry list. People are not motivated, right? So if we're just talking about toxic environments in the workplace or dysfunctional environments, there's a laundry list. People aren't motivated. Silos are created. People hoard information. It's very much a survival. You adopt a survival mode. There's no trust in the organization. People aren't thriving. The list goes on.
Yeah. So what part then is that leader playing?
All of it.
All of it. So what is the responsibility of the people? Right. Cause I know we say, if you follow Maxwell, everything rises and falls on leadership, all those sorts of things. And I don't necessarily disagree, but something I've been thinking about, and I know, again, you're not interviewing me. I'll do my own podcast by myself and I'll interview myself. But something I think about within, and it came about because of the context of the church, because I work in a church as well, is thinking about the dynamic between a pastor and the people listening, and or even just a leader there, is those being led do play a part in bringing out the best in their leader, and that leader brings out the best in them. It is a little reciprocal. You hear really engaged audiences typically are on the receiving end of a better message, speech, presentation, what have you. I think a lot of people ascribe that to the speech was so dang good that the people got engaged, but it actually is, it needs to be good, but the crowd has to be good. And together they actually amp each other up.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
What do you say to that leader who is reporting up, and while the senior leader's reporting down, what's their responsibility to try to change the environment or even try to lead upwards in that case?
Yeah. So let me give some clarity. Senior leaders for their whole organization, or it could be a mid-level manager for their department or their division, when we don't lead well, we cause unnecessary pain and challenge in the lives in the arena that we influence. Okay. So that's a piece. You're asking now, well, let's say I'm in that organization or I'm in that division, and my leader is one who's not leading well in and is introducing unnecessary negativity to our reality.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to give just the table of contents answer, because I've got some other stuff on my mind. But that's a whole thing. That, like, how do we lead from the middle is a monstrous topic. But I will say this, I guess one answer I would give is what does good leadership look like for you today? That would be my answer to that middle manager. If a middle manager called me and said, my boss sucks, all this, I would say, okay, what does good leadership look like for you today with the people you're leading? And the power dynamics and the politics and the hierarchy is going to influence to what degree we can realistically manage up.
Right.
There are some situations you just can't fix up in the organization. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to just weigh pros and cons. Is this a place I stay and continue to do my thing? Or is this a place, do I start looking elsewhere? That's my short answer.
No. Then that does make sense, because you can only affect so much change, right? You can't force people into change, that, especially change that maybe they don't even think they need to make. That's the hardest one, right?
And to that, I've seen middle managers beat their heads against the wall because they've tried that up, you know, changing up. And we can read all the motivational stuff we want to read. There are some situations you've got to make a move. Henry Cloud has a book out called Necessary Endings. I mean, there is a time to switch gears if you're in that kind of an environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, that's a move I've had to make before, is I could no longer affect change upward. And so I had to go outward to find a different path. So I certainly do support that. Obviously not as like a first resort, right? As see what you can do to leverage your own leadership. So, something I do want to hit on before we change gears is in the realm of the example you brought forward with this pastor. I don't disagree that he's going to leave there's a lot of pain now and grief and things like that. And certainly my prayers are with the family, with the congregation. That's horrific and that's hard and you can't make sense of it. Right. And in the show notes, I am going to include a phone number for the suicide prevention hotline. So if anybody's dealing with those sorts of thoughts or know somebody who is, that you reach out and you get help. But to that end though, when we do become those senior leaders and we are lacking self-awareness, I have seen, and I know I've been in this position, is you sit in a certain seat and people don't want to tell you the truth in some cases.
Right.
Even laterally, or even like, let's say a CEO down to one of their VPs. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of honesty. There can also be an assumption. So in a lot of pastors' cases, because this is something I've had some conversations with different people in the faith community about, is when you're the most senior person, you can get isolated pretty quickly, where you don't feel you can ask for help. And people aren't thinking you need it because they go to you for help. They go to you for answers. They go to you for guidance because mm-hmm. you've got it all together.
Right. Right.
So you're left feeling like you're on an island. And I do think then, you know, you tell yourself that story enough times and mm-hmm. you end up in a pretty dark place. Right.
That's another form of unnecessary pain. You don't have to get there, but you're right. You can, and many do.
So then let's shift gears from the middle manager and let's talk to those senior leaders, maybe even that most senior leader, CEO, founder, pastor, whoever that might be. What do you coach them on so that they can live in reality? Because reality typically, you can be delusional in either direction. Things are much worse than they are based on our example, right? Things are much better than they are, or you're much better than you think you are, right? And that's when you get a little too big for your britches, as my parents would say. How can these senior leaders find those spaces where they're not being propped up and basically lied to, but mm-hmm. people are compassionately telling them the truth and creating space so that they can be honest about what they're dealing with as well? Because mm-hmm. as a leader, sometimes it's scary to admit you don't know what you're doing or you don't understand something, because what if somebody takes all that away from you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great question, Kenny. I could talk a lot about this, but I'll go pretty quickly through a couple of thoughts. Number one is our security in our relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. Every form of insecurity and pride always stems from, we don't know who we are. We don't know we're loved infinitely, unconditionally, and just being at peace about that. You know, when we let the fact that we're loved by God really get into the bottom of our feet, we're at peace. We're at peace. We don't need the approval of man. We don't need success. We're known and loved by God. So that's first. I go on and on and on about that. I know that's easier said than done, but it is possible. Mm-hmm. We've got to prioritize that fellowship with God and live from that place of peace. Mm-hmm. Number two, if we're married, a good marriage helps with that. Kenny, I know you're married. You've been married for a while. I've been married for 18 years. Listen, my wife's not impressed with me, right? I mean,
same.
I mean, she is on one hand, don't get me wrong. She loves and respects me, but, however I can come across or perform in the external world, my wife knows who I am. So a good marriage helps with keeping a person in reality. The underline highlight bold italicized word there is good marriage. Mm-hmm. Okay. A healthy marriage, because you can be just as delusional in a marriage that you're not the problem, right? It's the other person. So I'm talking about a healthy marriage can help a person, man or woman, stay grounded. Mm-hmm. Number three, what is your relationship like with your children, no matter the age? 5, 15, 35. That can be an indicator of what kind of leader we are, is what kind of relationship do we have with our children. If we have four children and I'm a leader and I don't have a quality relationship with any of them, Like, here's your sign. Here's your sign. Okay, so.
Because they're getting you at your most unfiltered.
Correct. And again, they're not impressed with you. They're not impressed with you. So right. look at those relationships with your children. Listen, everyone, not everyone, there can be wayward children. So I'm not, this isn't about legalism. Okay. Right. But these are areas of our life. What's my relationship with God like? What's my relationship with my wife like? What's my relationship with my children like? If there's fractures in all of that, like noticeably fractures, like that's a warning sign that no matter how skillful I am and whatever, I probably have some areas in me that's mm-hmm. negatively impacting other people. And mm-hmm. I'm living in la-la land if I think all of a sudden I can whip it into shape at a company and that everything's merry. No, life doesn't work like that.
Yeah, that's what one of my pastors would say. If it's not working at home, don't export it.
Right,
Sam said that to me a long time ago, and it always makes you think. You know, how am I showing up at home? And if it's not working there, then
don't export it. But also, if it's not working at home, don't lie to yourself and think that it is working at work. Because
those people are the problem. These kids and my wife, they just don't get it. These people at work get it. Like, no.
What it is like going back to earlier, what it is at work, you have power over people's livelihood, and they might not be telling you the truth or reacting in a vulnerable way. They're minding their P's and Q's, trying to keep their job. So those are ways. I'll stop there. We could keep going, but those are ways we can monitor ourselves as leaders.
Right. And if I understand you correctly, if we can engage in those practices, if we can live in reality, if we can constantly, no relationship is perfect, but have healthy relationships, right? Healthy doesn't mean perfect. Then we really can take back that second type, that unavoidable or that avoidable type of pain, that unnecessary kind of pain, right? Because we can't do anything about the tragic, right?
Like right.
Storms of life, things, disease, all this stuff happens. The necessary pain for growth, we should be leaning into. And actually, if we lean into, it sounds like if we lean into that one,
there you go.
Number two will lessen. If we increase number one, necessary pain, we'll decrease number two. And then we just have to make peace with the things, you know, as like the serenity prayer, like we make peace with the things we cannot change.
Yeah, that's a good insight there, Kenny. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing. You were asking, like, how do we grow? Another thing are these peer advisory groups. Mm-hmm. Now, those can devolve into an echo chamber. For sure. So you got to be careful about that. But then, so that's one category. Another one would be just executive coaching. A good executive coach mm-hmm. is going to ask you the hard questions. So
yeah.
I can't encourage that enough.
Yeah. 100%. I definitely, obviously as my profession and yours, we would like people to engage in that, but I say that having engaged in it, and you've engaged in it yourself, and we still do, right? Like we advocate for coaching whilst we're receiving it. Is even though you're an executive, maybe paying that person, right? They're paying their employees, but they may be paying a coach. That coach doesn't experience that power dynamic,
correct?
That an employee might, right? Like a team correct. Member lower down the ladder, and so there can be. It removes a barrier to challenge assumptions, to challenge their perspective on reality, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not in a mean-spirited, I'm smart, you're dumb sort of way, but for that leader's benefit to grow, just like a coach telling a team mm-hmm. sports coach is saying, hey, we're about to run some laps. We're going to do some push-ups. We're going to run this drill three more times. And you're already just dog tired. doing it so that when you are dog tired in the game, you have that muscle memory and that pain mm-hmm. pays off.
Yeah, exactly. And, or, hey, I know you've ran that play every game and you're 0-4 right now.
Right.
Right. So
maybe we change it up.
Exactly. Exactly. Where people on the team might not feel comfortable questioning the coach's game plan or, you know, so coming from the outside saying, I can question the game plan. Again, not in a critical way, but just say, hey, you're in it. So you might have some blinders on. I'm outside. I'm just seeing some glaring connections here. Think about them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. I'm going to keep thinking about this, but just thinking through those types of pain, because we are, I mean, if you boil a lot of things down, we're pain avoidant and pleasure seeking. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we need discernment to know the difference between which types we need to engage in and which types we need to minimize and actually aren't for our long-term good as opposed
That's right. And we need to learn how to transform some areas in our life that we've associated with pain, therefore to avoid. We've got to transform that and actually begin to see that as a pleasure. And I'm not talking about in some extreme way, but discipline, discomfort, the mm-hmm. unknown, ambiguity, some of these things that we might retreat from, we've got to learn to say these are actually good things and signs that we're might be on the right track.
Yeah, that reminds me of a quote. It's one of my favorites. It's from Father Richard Rohr, and he says that if you don't transform your pain, you will transmit it.
Okay.
And so that same way of we've associated these different things that may have been painful, but if we don't heal from traumas, from these other things, we're going to end up perpetuating.
Absolutely.
We're going to inflict that unnecessary pain on those around us, whether we mean to or not.
Right. So that going full circle, that's probably your best word right there, Kenny, to your mid-level managers, right? You've got a toxic boss, whatever. What are you doing to transform your environment to not let that keep going through you into your division?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So, and I know you said you had many different things, but I do want to leave the people. It sounds like we need to have like our own mini series here. But what would you tell leader, whether it's senior, mid-level, could be multiple, but if somebody wants to start thinking this way, right? They're growth minded, they're healing, they're healthy, right? Maybe how to have a healthy relationship with pain, right? What can they do in the next 24 hours to just take that step of action, right? Because we can listen to this and somebody may be listening, you're driving. I always want to mess with people and go, take the next right, you know, like see what they did. They're like, how did he know? But I believe that if we listen to these things and it's saying something to us, we need to marry it with a response and an action quickly. And it doesn't have to be everything all at once.
I agree.
What do you say to that leader who needs to take that first step so that they can take the second, third, and fourth?
Okay. I'm going to throw out a few options for a first step because all of this could hit people in different ways. And I'm not going to cover it all here, but here are a few options. One option would be tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, whenever, write down any close relationships you're in, personal, professional. Is there friction? That's an area to explore. You can learn something about that area of friction. Most likely, there is something for you to learn about something about your self-awareness that's off.
Right. And do they need to name that friction? Not just like spouse. Yes, friction.
Okay.
Right? Do they
good?
Be they as need detailed to name that friction.
Be as detailed as possible about it. Like, what is the friction? What is the battle? What are the opposing forces taking place? Be as specific as possible. And then try to find a trusted person, Whether it be your friend, family, whatever, a coworker, boss, or an executive coach, reach out to someone and say, I want to talk about this. And don't fool yourself that you've got the wherewithal to sort it all out on your own, right? Because if you did, you would have.
Right.
Okay. So get help. So that's one takeaway. Another takeaway is if in the last year you haven't taken some type of an assessment, self-awareness assessment, and there's a lot of different kinds, I would sign up for one. Take an assessment and have someone, an outsider, debrief you on that. That would be a great starting point if you haven't done some self-awareness work in a while.
What's if somebody hasn't in a long time, or maybe they never have, what's a good assessment you'd recommend that's just low barrier to entry? Because I know, obviously, you and I know some of these can get fairly complex or expensive. What's a simple one that someone could get started with?
So I have to say, of course, I do this. So you can always go to my website, leadtandem.com, and reach out to me. And maybe I give a discount or something for any Kenny Lang, How Leaders Think podcast people. But you can always go online for free and probably do like a Myers-Briggs mm-hmm. or a DISC. Mm-hmm. And that's a good starting point. But again, the power, I'm going to really challenge folks to go one step further. The power is in having an outsider who knows the tool debrief you on it. That's where the power is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, like, you sent me yours, the OAD, and going through that, and the way that came out, the nice thing is, if you think you're super smart and you're going to outwit it, that particular one is hard to do. And the results are shockingly and sometimes rudely accurate, mm-hmm. as a friend of mine might say. Almost got you to spit the water.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That would have been the first spit take for the show.
Yeah.
But those are a couple. So y'all have heard a couple of great assessments. Get out there. You can check out Kevin's website and reach out to him, which we will get all the links to his website in the show notes. But DISC, Myers-Briggs are two of the most popular, but do, like Kevin said, and grab somebody who understands the tool, maybe certified on it, or is just a really experienced coach who understands the tool, mm-hmm. to help go over it with you so that there can be an honest conversation and you don't misinterpret it because you can't see past yourself.
Right. Good. Right? So yeah, I think those are two very practical things people could do within 24 hours.
Which are fantastic. And there's tons more, so don't get caught in the assessment rabbit hole. So Kevin, if people want to know more about you, obviously you gave the leadtandem.com, but if people want to know more about you or connect with you, where is the best place to find you, to see more of what you're doing and any of your content?
Our two websites, leadtandem.com and then expressprostraining.com. And LinkedIn is probably the best catch-all.
Okay.
Is my LinkedIn profile. People can message me there. They can see different posts we've done, links to our website. So that's probably the easiest way to connect.
Gotcha. And we will have a link so that y'all can reach out and follow or connect or send Kevin a connection request there on LinkedIn. I highly recommend it. You'll learn something, which is always beneficial. And just briefly, the difference for people, if they're curious, is Lead Tandem in your company there really focuses on the senior leadership team members and teams as a whole and executive coaching, whereas the Express Pros training is focused on that mid-level frontline managers that need the training. So they complement, but are have very different audiences. So for you, even if you are a mid-level manager and you're seeking some training or something, especially if you're here in the East Texas area, that's definitely a fantastic place to start looking to level up your skills, because most people get their first management position in their early mid-30s and get their first training in their early mid-40s. So trying to close that 10-year gap.
We are trying to be the resource for organizations to help with that. Exactly.
Yeah. So either way,
Kenny,
yeah,
we're super excited that you're on the team, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to be self-promotion. It sounds weird if I'm being self-promotional on my own show. There we go. But yes, you will see my face on there, getting a chance to really help some people and leverage my skills to benefit my community. So it feels fantastic and meeting some great people in the meantime.
Yes.
And there's some other excellent leaders on that page too, that I highly recommend you go and follow them on LinkedIn and connect with them, because they're putting out great stuff and they're brilliant thinkers as well. So before we hang up and say goodbye and all that other stuff, I do want to reiterate for the listeners, if you are dealing with suicidal thoughts or ideation or anything like that, you can call the hotline number in the show notes. Seek counseling, professional help. I'm in counseling. I have sought out the help. I have had those dark thoughts and those dark moments, and I had to go outside of myself and outside of my circle to get that help. So please do that. Mm-hmm. And then tell a friend, bring somebody in that you really can trust, that you can mm-hmm. be open and honest with, and that will just love you non-judgmentally, mm-hmm. in that space. And then, I was trying to think, there was one other thing, but, I do, appreciate you coming on the show, Kevin. This was great. This is a rich conversation. I think there's a lot more here that maybe we need to keep the conversation rolling. Mm-hmm. But if anybody listening, if you have questions, if this has sparked something for you, leave a comment on social media. You know, keep it rolling. Kevin and I are on pretty regularly on LinkedIn and other places, and we will respond. And it won't be from a robot or even an assistant. You're going to get a real answer, and we'll engage. And maybe we don't have the answers. Maybe we have our own questions that you sparked something for. But Kevin, appreciate you coming on the show, and hope to have you back again in the future.
Thanks, Kenny.